make me laugh. Chris Schultz, have you found some funny stuff for us to view? Morning.
Maybe. Yes. I want to say yes. By the end of this, we will have found some funny stuff for you to watch, Catherine, I'm sure. The first show, unfortunately, though, is a bit of a dud. We're talking about Space Force, and that's probably the biggest comedy show event of the year. This is from the minder Greg Daniels, and if you don't know his name, you've probably seen and loved some of his shows. He's the guy who made King of the Hill. He adapted Ricky Gervais's The Office for an American audience. That's still a juggernaut, one of the most watched shows in TV right now still. And he also made Parks and Recreation. So
great stuff in their own way. Certainly groundbreakers in their own way.
Yeah, his pedigree is impeccable. He has had a bit of time off. This is his big comeback, and it's on Netflix. It's an amazing-looking show. I mean, this should be at the movies. It's just kind of got the cinematic quality to it. It's set out in the desert. There's rocket ships flying off. The CGI is really impressive, and the cast is just insane. I mean, this is an all-star cast. It's Steve Carell, who Greg Daniels worked with on The Office, obviously. Apparently paid $10 million for this role. We've got Jane Lynch popping up in cameos. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is in this. So many big names. John Malkovich. It's just incredible. And I'm sorry to say it's all a bit of a dud,
unfortunately. Is it a bad script? Like, what's gone wrong?
I have been almost scientifically trying to piece together why this hasn't worked. Because when you look at the talent involved, this should be incredible. I think one of the big problems is where it's set. You know, when you look at The Office and Parks and Recreation, they're set in pretty small offices with really big characters in them. And we can all relate to working in an office. We've all done that. Most of us have, anyway. This show's based in a space team. They're trying to get boots on the moon by 2024. They're out in a hidden airbase in a desert, working on spaceships, and there's probably only a few thousand people in the world who've had that experience, so it's kind of unrelatable, the setting. The jokes are really dated. You know, there's a lot of jokes about the president tweeting too much, and Brexit, and Russian interference and stuff, and I mean, they would have felt dated a year ago, I reckon, and so you see some of that, and it just all falls a bit flat. But then also I think one of the problems is timing. You know, comedy is all about timing. And at the moment, you know, there's a scene in the first episode where Steve Carell's character, Fred Nard, he's a lieutenant who's been left in charge of this space team. He's totally unprepared and for the role, but he's out talking to his best scientist. He wants to launch a rocket, test rocket as a display of power to show off. And he's got all of these scientists lined up in front of him. They're all from all over the world, different nationalities. And there's some casual racism that maybe it might have been funny a couple of years ago, but right now when you see what's happening in America and you know what's led to what's happening in America, you can't really laugh at that. I didn't find that funny. And
Is it not a proverbial take of Donald Trump? Is that not what it's trying to be?
Absolutely. But you know, it's based on a mission he set when he first went into office.
Right.
He wants people back on the moon. So it was all based around that two or three years ago, I think he announced it. That's what the show's supposed to be. And Steve Carell's character does have a few Trumpisms about him. And so he's not very likable. If you look at his character in The Office with Michael Scott, they really tweaked him to make him, I mean, he was nasty and harsh, but he was also kind of lovable. He had a heart. And at the moment in this first season, that just doesn't come through with this character.
Is Carell a writer, do we think? Do you know?
Yeah, he co-created the show. Okay. He was definitely involved.
I'm wondering if your sensitivities are also that events are overtaking even what it was anticipating.
Totally.
And they clearly are.
Totally, yeah. It's pretty hard to laugh at Americans being stupid on TV when you see what's going on over there, for sure.
Okay, so that might be a Horses for Courses one. Hashtag Black AF on Netflix?
Yeah, and the story behind this one is almost as interesting as the show itself. This is Kenya Barris, who is another TV producer. You might not know his name, but again, you've probably seen his shows. He created America's Next Top Model. He made his millions from that. And then he went on to make a bunch of other shows, kind of sitcoms. So he made Blackish and then a couple of spin-offs, Grownish and Mixedish. And so Netflix came along, and as they do, they bought up the rights to his next show. This show is very different. I really struggle to describe it because it's so crazy. It's kind of a mix of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Modern Family, maybe The Cosby Show, but then also like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It's based on his life as a successful TV producer. So Kenya Barris plays himself, and every day he got up in his own house with his six kids and his wife, and then he went to set to play himself with six actors playing his kids and Rashida Jones playing his wife. The house was an exact replica of the house he actually lives in. And the whole show is just kind of family banter based around things that have actually happened to him. So, you know, he's obviously a successful TV producer, but he also tackles what it's like being a successful TV producer when you're black in America and what happens when you roll up to an expensive restaurant in a car and a conversation you have with the valet, or what happens with your white friends when you're successful at that level. And so it's at its best when it's poking its fingers and nose holes and showing that side of things. And it's a very fast show. It's full on. It takes a couple of episodes to get your head around because there's so many jokes. It's so fast. The kids are incredible. He's found six actors who are just remarkable. But yeah, that's the show. It's like nothing I've ever really seen. But once you get your head around it, it's very, very funny.
So it is comedic, but comedic with kind of moments where you go, oh wow, like there's moments of sort of reality hitting. What?
Yeah, because you know that a lot of the stuff in this has been taken out of his own life. He's talked about how he was going through a divorce when he made the show, and how that is probably going to end up in the show as well. I think there's a moment in one of the early episodes, where he's out at dinner with his wife and a white couple, and they just have this conversation that's so loaded with this kind of casual racism, you know. And you talk about the scene in Space Force and how the timing couldn't be worse, but then you look at this and it's from the other point of view, and the timing is just kind of perfect, really.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of minutes for Lovebirds, which is also on Netflix. You've been Netflix binging this week.
I have. I've been looking hard at trying to find something to laugh at. This is probably your best bet, too. The Lovebirds is it's the first big movie that skipped a theatrical release because of COVID-19. You know, we had all these movies delayed, like Bond and Peter Rabbit 2 and A Quiet Place 2. They're all months and months away because none of us can go to the movies. The Lovebirds was supposed to be in cinemas, I think, in early May. Instead, they sold it to Netflix, which was probably a great idea because we're all stuck at home with nothing to do. So Lovebirds stars, it's a rom-com, and it stars two big names from TV, Kumail Nanjiani from Silicon Valley, and he made the excellent show Little America for Apple TV, and then Issa Rae from Insecure. She was a YouTuber. She made a web series and HBO came calling. And they're both fantastic. They play a couple in this who are on the verge of breaking up when they're involved in a criminal activity accidentally. And they're kind of drawn into this madcap world of trying to clear their name. And it's kind of at its best when you can see that they're just having fun with the script and riffing on probably things that weren't actually written for them. So there's some great lines in this. It's just a really easy watch, and I think right now that's kind of something we could all use, you know.
Any downsides to it? Did you see? Find it? I mean, they're so schmaltzy, really, the rom coms, aren't they? But is it okay?
They can be, but this has occasional outbursts of quite serious violence. They've got a kind of serial killer stalker on their tail, and just occasionally there's some pretty graphic violence. So keep an eye out for that. But the Kumail and Issa just have so much chemistry. They're so watchable. I think that's what pulls the movie through. You know, it's certainly not perfect, but it's them that makes it.
Okay, so just run us through the three again, all on Netflix, and they are
Space Force, which, you know, maybe
take or leave. Yep.
Yep. and Black AF, which I would thoroughly recommend, and the Lovebirds, which is a must watch for a Friday night with a pizza and a bucket of popcorn if you're stuck at home in the movie theatre still.
Something
open.
For everyone. Thanks very much. Really appreciate it. Chris Schultz with what he has been viewing.